funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Dwahli Saikautau in for Chris Boyd. Today, we're talking about Grand Prairie, home of Lone Star Park, the Palace of Wax, and the Air Hogs minor league baseball team. We'll talk about its past with former Dallas Morning News reporter Kathy Goolsby. She's just finished a book called A History of Grand Prairie, Pre-1840s to 2009, and we'll talk about the city's present and future with Grand Prairie City Council member Georgia Clemson. She hosts It's Happening Now on Grand Prairie TV 16. Welcome, both of you, to Think.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So nice to have you.
We are glad to be here. Now, we love talking about the Grand Prairie.
That's right.
You know, start us off with this book and tell us, you know, you went through quite a lot of research here, looking, mm-hmm. you know, back to when the Indians were in Grand Prairie to the, you know, pretty much the present. Tell us a little bit about the work.
I had actually written another book on Grand Prairie that came out in 2008 that was commissioned by the historical group in Grand Prairie. But it had a limitation. I had a 20,000-word limitation. And there's no way you can tell all the history of a place like Grand Prairie in 20,000 words. So Amy Sprinkles with the city's marketing department asked me right after that if there was more that I could do. So she came up with the idea for this book, which kind of talks about how Grand Prairie grew over the last century and a half. And I had so much material left previously, but I went back then and did more research using the city council minutes and the newspapers that they have archived in the library, the Grand Prairie Texan, the Grand Prairie Hustler, which was actually the first newspaper in Grand Prairie back in the late 1800s, and then also talk to people. I have some, you know, personal accounts from people too, but I always went back and checked their facts whenever I used personal history on stuff. I think that's real important.
And you also covered the community for the Dallas Morning News.
Well, I actually covered it for the Grand Prairie News back in the 90s. That's when I first went to work for Belo, which owns, of course, the Dallas Morning News, or did at the time. And so I didn't really know Grand Prairie when I started there. I grew up in Arlington. And as I covered it, I was the lifestyle editor. So as I would go to these meetings and meet people like Georgia and all the people in Grand Prairie that were doing so much good, and the historical groups and the Genealogical Society, I began to learn about Grand Prairie, and I was fascinated by the history. It just had so many stories to tell. So that's really what got me into it. Of course, I have a minor in history, so I've always been into history. I've always loved history. So that's kind of where my interest came from.
Now, before we actually ask you to tell us a little bit about the history, I should admit that I was at a party this weekend with some journalists and authors and other people, and I basically was kind of taking an unscientific survey of what people knew of Grand Prairie, and most people were like, where is that?
Right.
Where is Grand Prairie? What's it known for? And so, you know,
well,
help us out.
It's fascinating because to me, at least, I hope it is to others, but, you know, Grand Prairie, it's always been, you know, centrally located between Dallas and Fort Worth. So, you know, it kind of affected both cities as things happened there. It would, you know, the different factories there, you had a lot of, for instance, a lot of people don't know, but in the 1920s and 30s, there was a broom factory in Grand Prairie that produced hundreds of thousands of brooms that went all over the United States. I mean, people in Dallas and Fort Worth were probably sweeping their floors with these brooms that were made there. And the farmers around Grand Prairie grew the corn that, it was broom corn is what it was called, that was used to make these brooms. So that was a huge industry at the time. But Grand Prairie was a little farming community up until 1939, 1940, when North American Aviation decided to put the airplane factory in not Grand Prairie, but Dallas County. It has never been located in Grand Prairie. It's now located in the city of Dallas, which was kind of a bone of contention when that happened. But it was in Dallas County, but just east of Grand Prairie. And this little farming community just exploded at that time and went from, I think it was in 1941, there were 1,800 people in Grand Prairie. And 6 months later, there were 5,000 people living there. Now, for that time, that was a boom, because their sewage system was not designed for that many people, their water system, their schools weren't big enough for all those kids. And so there was just this huge rush to, you know, help the people with the services they needed and build the schools. And where did we get the money for that? The students went on half days because they didn't have enough classrooms to accommodate them. So some really big changes happened. But, you know, that factory supplied many, many, many of the, you know, the airplanes that were used to help win World War II. So it's just had a huge impact all the way around. At that time, Grand Prairie was the fastest growing city in the United States.
Georgia Clemson,
yes, ma'am.
You have been in Grand Prairie. You went to school there. You have quite the history. Your mother, you just tell us a little bit more about yourself. And you were even Miss Grand Prairie.
Wow, you've done your homework. Now, that's part of the history of Grand Prairie.
Yes.
And my history as well. And, of course, you mentioned my mom, who was a legend in Grand Prairie and known as the matriarch of Grand Prairie. And I think it's funny that you reminded me that I was Miss Grand Prairie, because over the years she has stolen that title from me. She is Miss Grand Prairie, and she didn't even have to wear a swimsuit. So I thought that was neat that she had become the matriarch of Grand Prairie through all of her service to the community. And it's
but before you go there,
sure,
though, I would love to know, what did you do as Miss Grand Prairie? What were your responsibilities?
Oh, my responsibilities. Well, I represented the city at the Miss Texas pageant and at any other grand openings or any special events in Grand Prairie.
And there was a special tee off, I understand.
Oh, yes. Yes. You know that as well. I was able to take a golf lesson from a very important legend.
That's where you need to tell us the story.
Well, actually, it was Byron Nelson, and he was at the Grand Prairie golf course, I believe at the grand opening. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I believe
it
that
is.
Was correct.
It's in the book,
and I haven't gotten all the way through
you're in
it.
You're in the book, Georgia.
How wonderful. But he gave me my first golf lesson, and it was an exciting day. Exciting day in Grand Prairie just to have him there, and for the opening of the golf course.
Now, what was it like when you were, you know, growing up in Grand Prairie? Because I'll share mine in just a bit, but I'd like to know, you know, when you were growing up, what was that like?
Well, of course, it was a little bit quieter as far as the activities go, and we didn't have nearly as much to choose from as far as activities. We had the Uptown Theater and the Wings Theater, and we could go to the movies there on the weekends. And we also, of course, had the Dairy Queen, which is where everyone had to hang out at the Dairy Queen. And if nothing else, you would just drive around it because you wanted to check out who was there, and that was part of the entertainment for the evening.
In our unofficial survey over the weekend, and with the help of some of our interns, we were able to actually ask some of the locals, you know, what needs to be improved, and what is Grand Prairie known for? And a lot of people, you know, didn't have too much knowledge about what the history of Grand Prairie is, or its place in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. So, you know, could you?
Well, you know, I could talk forever about the history, but, you know, when Arlington came up with, you know, Six Flags and the baseball team coming in, you know, Grand Prairie saw that was a viable industry, and they began trying to come up with some entertainment facilities. Of course, the Wax Museum moved there. And that is still there.
And there used to be an amusement, little amusement park, because I used to work there, too.
Yes.
Was that Clown Around?
Yes,
Clown
it
Around.
Was.
Yes, I actually that. Went to a birthday party there with my children.
I'm sure
once.
That I
yes.
probably handled your kids yes. at Clown Around.
My daughter actually worked there, too. You might have crossed paths.
Probably.
Well, a lot of those were brought in during the recession, and so there was difficulty getting them off the ground, getting them to remain. Of course, like I say, the Wax Museum was still there. But then, of course, the city had great success when they brought in Lone Star Park, which was, you know, huge in the mid-90s. And then now, of course, we have the Air Hogs, you know, baseball team, and we have the big theater there. The skate park. So there's, you know, they've grown their own entertainment district. So in that sense, I mean, as far as visitors coming in, there's always something to do there. Then, of course, they've got the lake, Joe yes. Pool Lake, that opened in the mid-80s. And that has caused the city to grow to the south. It was concentrated up north, but it began to move south when word came that they were really going to start this lake that had been on the drawing board for 25 years. So Grand Prairie has really just experienced one growth boom after another over the last, you know, 60, 70 years. Almost every decade has seen something happen that caused more people to move here.
But Kathy Goolsbee, what is Grand Prairie known for, though? You know,
I don't know. Maybe we should ask Georgia that. That might be more of a Georgia question because she grew up there.
And as a city council member, you've seen so much change happening mm-hmm. too. The downtown area has grown, and then you know people are still hoping for more growth.
Oh, absolutely! In fact, the best is yet to come for Grand Prairie, because we really haven't had access to Grand Prairie due to the frontage roads on I-30 and I-20. And also, we've just now completed 161. That gives us access, and we have land that's available, undeveloped. So I really think it will continue to boom. And what it's really known for, I think, just from my perspective, it might not be one specific amusement park or a place. I think it's known for its people, the community. We have a wonderful community of people. It's like an extended family. I can just tell you from my perspective of working with several nonprofits, raising funds for instance, the Lifeline Shelter, which is for the homeless school children in GPISD. When the people are aware of a need, they respond. And you don't have that everywhere. And you don't have that close, knit community everywhere. And I think the feel for Grand Prairie, even though it's a city of 180,000, we still have a small town, close knit community type atmosphere. And I think that's what sets us apart. And it does make me a little bit disappointed when people say, "Where is Grand Prairie?" Because, well, for many years, we've had to say we're right between Dallas and Fort Worth and Arlington, and then they recognize that area, of course. But now, Grand Prairie, I believe, stands on its own and its own merit, and I think it will continue to be more identified as an independent, wonderful, growing city.
It's always been a great place to raise a family, and I think it's still known for that.
Yes.
We're talking today with author of A History of Grand Prairie, Kathy Goolsbee, who's also a former Dallas Morning News reporter. She's joined by Grand Prairie City Council member Georgia Clemson, who represents District 1. You can call us and tell us about what makes Grand Prairie special or what needs to be changed. Join our conversation by calling 800-933-5372 or email us at think@kera.org.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program, accepting applications for this fall to design your own Master of Liberal Studies degree with concentrations in human rights, creative writing, and organizational dynamics. More at smu.edu/MLS.
And to the right. You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Dwahli Saikautau, in today for Chris Boyd. Our guests today are Kathy Goolsby, author of A History of Grand Prairie, and City Council member Georgia Clemson. We're talking about Grand Prairie, the past, the present, and future. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Speaking of diversity, we were talking a little bit about that. I remember when we moved to Grand Prairie back in the mid-70s, right after, you know, the wave of Southeast Asian refugees that were coming to Texas. And Grand Prairie now is quite diverse.
Yes, it is. It is. And, you know, it has been in the past, but it is more so today than ever. And I think as a community and as a city, we're embracing that diversity. We have so many activities that are geared to the different areas of the diversity, such as we just had the Cinco de Mayo celebration and parade, which is a great event downtown. And as you might know, we have a great new development out on 303, which is the Hong Kong Marketplace, Asia Times Square. And they have just partnered with the Chamber of Commerce to have an office out there, a little sub-office, as well.
Good food out there.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's always a good place to go.
Good food, but a lot of rich history. You know, you have some of these black churches with, you know, quite the vibrant, active, you know, groups out there. And can you speak a little bit to that, Georgia?
Well, yes, and we love that. And I'm glad you ask about that because a lot of those are located in our Dalworth community, and that's in District 1. And so I'm very proud of that community and of the rich heritage that we have. I don't know exactly how many churches, but just within a very small area, we have just multiple churches that have wonderful history. I'm sure Kathy could give you more specifics as far as the history, but they are very involved in the city.
Yeah, there are quite a few in the Dalworth area. I think I can't remember the exact number. It was like 14 or 16 churches in just a few block area there, a very small area. Another interesting thing when you talk about the diversity, when Vault Corporation came in and they needed sheet metal workers, and there weren't that many here in this area, but there was a high unemployment rate in South Texas down in the valley. And so the government trained them to do sheet metal, and then like 750 workers were brought in, and that helped grow the Hispanic community. And there are so many now, you know, Hispanic bakeries in Grand Prairie. I mean, I did a story on them once when I was working for the Grand Prairie paper, and I got to go to all the bakeries and
you have to tell us where the best bakery is.
Well, I would not pick a favorite. They were so good, but it was really as you say, the diversity that's there. But they were one of the first communities to embrace, you know, the Hispanic culture, and it's really grown, and it's like I say, the, you know, just the diversity in Grand Prairie is really impressive to see.
And in fact, in your book, you have quite a number of prominent people that have come from Grand Prairie, other than Selena Gomez.
Right.
Who else can you talk about?
Well, the stuff in the back was submitted by the historical group and the genealogical group. There's a lot of profiles in the back. There's sports figures. There's politicians. There's, military personnel that have been, you know, bios written on them, profiled in the back. And so, you know, one of them that they talk about here, and of course I talk about him in my book, is G.H. Turner, who was the mayor of Grand Prairie for 25 years with just a two-year break in there. And he did so much. He was there when the first boom happened, when the aviation industry came to Grand Prairie. And I was so impressed by his foresight, because he could see that bringing in all these workers was going to cause maybe what I call snake oil salesmen to show up in Grand Prairie. You know, they wanted to come in and open all these pool halls and, you know, places to make quick money, but would not necessarily be good for Grand Prairie. And Mayor Turner and the city council had the foresight to pass ordinances that sort of kept that down. Pool halls were not allowed in Grand Prairie. They had meetings with the citizens and warned them to be careful of people coming in wanting to, you know, make a quick profit on things. So they really made sure that when the boom was over, when the war was over, and that plant was not there anymore, Grand Prairie would still be Grand Prairie. It wouldn't be this cheap, shoddy boom town that, you know, these outsiders wanted to come in and change things. So,
I was in Gainesville, you know, during for World War II veterans and met a number of them. But Grand Prairie also played quite an important role during this time.
Yes, very much so. You know, because of the industry, for one thing. You know, it's interesting to me too. And when Pearl Harbor happened, the first Grand Prairie, soldier was killed at Pearl Harbor. But in World War I, not a single Grand Prairie person lost their lives during the war. But World War II was different. And
we have a cemetery in Grand Prairie where our fallen soldiers are.
Yes, and the Veterans Memorial. I know when it was dedicated, there were, I think, 51 names on it from, you know, the World War II and the Vietnam War. So they've always been.
I have a cousin buried there.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so it's, the war has, any kind of war affects a community. But World War II, I think, was especially so. You know, when people rallied at that time, there was, you know, the Victory Gardens, but they also had the canning factories where people could bring their food in and can it. And part of that would go to families in need. You know, there was a shortage of milk and chickens during the war because they were being used to feed the soldiers overseas. And so everybody had to, you know, make sacrifices. You weren't supposed to eat. You weren't allowed to kill chickens at all. You could only use their eggs.
Well, you know, back in the late 1920s and then into the 30s, there were also dog racing. There was a dog racing track there. And, of course, now we have a horse track. And
yes.
You know, talked about Lone Star Park. You were there when on opening day.
Yes. And they initially, you know, had simulcast racing. They didn't have the track finished, but you could go and watch simulcast on the, you know, the screens. And so that's when I went there, when it opened for that. I think, do you remember the date? 1996, I think it was, or somewhere right in there. It really brought Grand Prairie to the forefront. It's made Grand Prairie a world-class city. Before that, you know, as we talked about, they had different things that might attract people, but that really gave them recognition. And it was such a first-class facility that they built. You know, it wasn't just, I don't
Describe
know really
it.
How to,
you know, what, for people who've never been there, what's it like?
It's, what, three stories high? There's a huge, you know, the track is huge. The grandstands are really grand. I've been out even to the horse barns at the back because I did a story on the chaplain that comes to the races that was on site. And it just really was built with comfort in mind. You know, there's a lot of meetings that are held there. It's not just for horse racing. You know, we go to a lot of events there, especially during the off season, because, you know, you don't have horse racing every day of the year. I don't know how many days it is now. I think it was like 125 days when it first opened. And I'm not sure the exact days now because I don't follow horse racing that closely. But, you know, that facility is used for many, many things.
And, of course, concerts, you know.
Yes.
At the Verizon Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just That place is just packed.
That whole area. And then the baseball in the summer with the Air Hogs. I mean, I live in Arlington less than a mile from the Rangers Stadium, from the ballpark. But my family and I will come to Grand Prairie to see the Air Hogs because you are right up close. I mean, you literally have to dodge every foul ball. You've got, you know, the mascot coming up into the stands. It's just, to me, so much more. I mean, I love the Rangers. I follow the Rangers. But the Air Hogs, when you go
Air Hogs.
Yes,
that's
exactly. Right. And, you know, they've won a world championship.
Yes, last year.
Yes. And so it's just really a lot of fun to go there. It's you're closer to the action.
Georgia Clemson, you host this program. You talk about what's happening in Grand Prairie. Tell us, I mean, what's new? What's exciting? What's happening with the community? And what needs a little bit more attention?
Well, it's always happening in Grand Prairie. We love it. With the Arts Council is always busy with productions. They're coming up with Hello Dolly for their summer production, and which is the 50th anniversary of Hello Dolly.
Mm.
And also the 30th.
Well, you know, I was called Dolly when I was growing up.
Oh, really?
Oh, did I just say that?
Hello Dolly.
Oh, now we know.
Well, you know, people couldn't pronounce my name, and so it was too difficult Dwali, for them
yes.
to look at it as Dwahli, so it was all about Dolly. And Hello Dolly
Hello.
Is my favorite song,
yes.
according to my teachers and all the friends around me. But
well, you'll have to come to the Uptown Theater and see the production of Hello Dolly.
I will have to.
That would be great. We'd love to have you. And, of course, it's the 35th anniversary of the Arts Council as well. And also, usually on my show, I feature the Chamber of Commerce and the events that are going on to promote those events for the Chamber. And then we generally have someone from the city to let us know what's going on at the farmers market, at other places in town, at the lake, wherever we happen to be having events. So it's always happening. There's something wonderful happening all the time. We've just recently had the what is it? The crawfish boil. At,
oh, that's
at
right.
Farmers
that's
Market.
Right on Saturday.
Yes.
The crawfish.
Meal. And we're looking forward to having also in July is Miss Ruthie's Fig and Fudge Festival. So
what
that's,
is that? What is Miss Ruthie's Fudge Fig and, something Festival?
Well, my mom, Ruthie Jackson, was sort of a
that's
connoisseur
right.
of
that's
figs.
That's right. Yes.
Because
now
she,
I remember. The story's coming
right.
back. Go ahead.
She would, she grew her figs in the backyard and then would make these wonderful preserves and share them with everyone. And also, in her later years, she would bring the figs. She didn't want to continue to make preserves because she had quite a stock of those. She would bring the figs up to the farmer's market. And she would let them sell those and give the donations to Lifeline Shelter for families. So in her memory, they're going to do, and in her honor, they're going to do the Miss Ruthie's Fig and Fudge Festival. You know, she loved her chocolate, too. So we figured if you didn't like figs, we know you're bound to like fudge. So we'll have a contest and cooking and a lot of fun on July the 26th.
And tell us a little bit more about your mom. You know, for people who didn't know her, you know, what she did
Miss
in the
Ruthie
city.
Miss Ruthie was special.
Oh, she really was. And it's hard to put it into words in a short time because she was an amazing lady. She really was.
How did she change, you know, how did she make Grand Prairie what it is today?
Oh, my. She, I believe by herself or with the help of others, she started over 30 nonprofits,
mm-hmm.
over 30 herself. And she was instrumental in getting the Veterans Center in Grand Prairie, the memorial there, and then the center. She loved her veterans.
All the beautification programs.
All the beautification. She was a member of Keep Texas Beautiful, and she promoted that throughout the city. I like to say back before Grand Prairie was cool, she was a cheerleader for mm-hmm. Grand Prairie and promoted it not only in Grand Prairie but throughout the state and the nation if she was invited to do that. But she was just amazing. But now I get to be a cheerleader for Grand Prairie, and it's already cool.
Well, it sounds like there's certainly a lot happening in Grand Prairie and a lot of new things for young people. Again, some of the discussions that we've had with some of the unofficial folks on the streets, they tell us they want more things for young people.
Oh, yes.
You know, more activity, sculpting perhaps, you know, places where young people can get together and actually do more things together in a healthier environment. And in fact, some people say there's too much gang activity. And
I'm glad you mentioned that. A very exciting thing is the voters just approved the quarter-cent sales tax to build a mega recreation center in Grand Prairie called the Epic. And it's going to include, of course, an indoor and outdoor water park and an amphitheater, trails, and a huge, handy, accessible playground.
When is that going to be done? Probably not by the summer.
I believe 2017. I believe that's the target
date.
Oh,
goodness. Well, I don't know if we'll that'll be a while from now. But also, interestingly, Grand Prairie has an Oswald connection. Tell us about that.
Oh, yes. I kind of stumbled across that when I was researching the book when Kennedy came through, you know, and then you know, he was assassinated in 63 and discovered that Oswald had actually been seen in the weeks before Kennedy came here at the Grand Prairie target or gun range doing target practice. And the people who saw him there were really amazed by his marksmanship. They talked about how he was hitting the target dead center every time. And he was there two or three times in those weeks beforehand. Now, you know, Kennedy wasn't confirmed to be doing the motorcade until just 1 week before he came. So, you know, and I mentioned this in the book, whether he was there with that intention, you know, practicing what he was going to do, that's really debatable because he was there several weeks before it was even decided that Kennedy would actually do a motorcade. Originally, he was just supposed to go straight to, I think it was Market Hall, where the luncheon was going to take place. And then a lot of the people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area said, hey, we're the ones who put him in office. You know, we're the grassroots campaign that got out and knocked on doors and made the phone calls, and we can't afford that luncheon. It was a political fundraiser, I think, for Connolly. And so he decided a week beforehand that he would do this motorcade, and he did one in Fort Worth and then one in Dallas.
You can join our conversation by calling 800-933-5372 or email think@kera.org. We'll be right back.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program, accepting applications for this fall to design your own Master of Liberal Studies degree with concentrations in human rights, creative writing, and organizational dynamics. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Dwahli Saikautau, in today for Chris Boyd. Our guests today are Kathy Goolsby, author of A History of Grand Prairie, and City Council member Georgia Clemson. Nice to have you again with us. So before we get started, I want to know, I mean, how did Grand Prairie get its name?
You know, that's been debated for a long time. There is a legend. That's a lot of fun. I'll tell you first that I think it was named by the railroad because it sat on the eastern edge of the Grand Prairie, which is an area of Texas that runs out into West Texas. But the legend is a lot more fun.
Oh, of course.
The legend is truth. The legend is that a woman coming to Grand Prairie stepped down off the train and looked around and said, "My, what a Grand Prairie." And that's the legend on the name. Now, I did not see any references to that legend for the first 70 years after it was named. Mm-hmm. So I really have my doubts that that's what happened.
When was Grand Prairie incorporated?
It was incorporated in 1909.
So it was after that. Uh-huh.
Yes. Well, no, it was named in the 1870s. It was named Grand Prairie in 1876, I believe it was.
Kathy, tell them what the original name was.
The original name, I was actually getting to that, because the original name was Deckman, D-E-C-H-M-A-N. After Alexander McRae Deckman, who actually founded Grand Prairie. Now, there's another legend attached to that, if you would like to hear that.
Absolutely. We like legends.
The legend was that Mr. Deckman was coming from Dallas to his home out in what is now Haltom City. It was Birdville at the time. And he had his wagon and his oxen, and his wagon broke down where Grand Prairie now sits. So he traded his wagon and oxen for this land. Now, that never made sense to me. Why would you trade your land for a broken down wagon? And I have been very privileged to have Mr. Deckman's memoirs that he wrote in 1905. And in it, he does not say his wagon broke down. He says that he heard that he could trade his oxen and wagon for land in Dallas County. And he says, and I quote him, "So to Dallas I went." And he traded those in for 239 acres. The Carruth brothers traded it. And that became downtown Grand Prairie. He originally was going to put a homestead there. He tried to build a home for his family while he went to sign up to serve in the Civil War. And he ran into problems and couldn't get the house done. So he ended up platting the area, and he gave every other lot to the railroad so that they would come through there. And in doing so, a town grew up there. So it was a very smart move on his part. But anyway, it was Deckman, and then it was changed to Grand Prairie.
Well, the history of my family does not go back that far. But we certainly arrived at a time when there was still a lot of space, a lot of land, and our property there that we have is still a little bit bigger than what most people kind of consider average homes are for Grand Prairie. Mm-hmm. And
I ask what part of Grand Prairie did y'all live in?
Oh, just behind the Brahms, not far from where the Brahms is. You know,
okay.
Close to the Jack in the Box,
right.
About a couple
okay.
of miles
so
from Traders Village.
Right, okay.
And, you know, Traders Village has grown in unbelievable ways. When I worked there, when I was a teenager, it was not the kind of place that I don't know if I would have said it was a fun place. It was a summer job, right? You know,
it was hot.
You sold turkey legs and little silk flowers, but now it's a place where people from all over Texas come and shop.
All over the world.
Right.
All over the world.
It's a thriving business, and they've done some improvements that have made it more fun. They've added some amusement rides, and they've added an improved food court. So it's very nice.
It's the place to go to get a bargain.
Well, we have a Grand Prairie resident of 25 years who says, Grand Prairie needs a much better public transportation, system with bus connections to DART and the works. I might agree with that.
Right. And I touch on some of that in the book. You know, there's been efforts along the way. I think this is true a lot of the cities around this area. We are so used to getting in our car and going places that it's difficult. And we're so spread out that it's really difficult to, come up with a mass transit that serves everybody's needs.
I mean, we were walkers in our family. So
yeah.
There we were, walking across to Kroger's and to all these different, ethnic grocery stores and different restaurants and whatnot.
Right.
But it's a little hard to do now.
Right. It is. And I don't know if there's anything in the works now. Georgia, maybe you.
Well, of course, we're always looking at the options and studying the neighboring cities that are working on that, such as Arlington. But Grand Prairie opted out of DART a long time ago.
Yes.
And it would be very, very expensive, almost, I'm not going to say impossible because everything is possible, but as far as financially, it would be a very difficult for us as a city to participate or in that at all. But we do have the Grand Connection for senior citizens, and we're looking into options for perhaps other means of transportation rather than DART.
I do have to admit that the school system needs some improvement in that area.
in which area?
My sisters went to Grand Prairie High School, and there are certainly some academic concerns.
Absolutely. There are always schools that have academic concerns and that really need extra help. But as far as the Grand Prairie Independent School District, it is top-notch as far as offering the different options of where you can go to school, schools of choice. We have the Young Men's Leadership Academy, the Young Women's Leadership Academy. We have the Dubisky Career High School, and we have the STEM academies that are available now. And there are fantastic opportunities for the students of Grand Prairie to choose where they would like to focus their education. And as far as the other schools, I know that the superintendent, the school board, and all the administrators are working very hard to get everything up to par and above.
Well, Kathy, you know, your book is new. You've got some interesting stories, even one about a police cap that tracks
Officer
rats.
Fang. Officer Fang.
What was that story?
I think that was back in the 80s. They had an infestation of rodents that were eating the evidence. They were discovering, stuff that had been confiscated. Now, what kind of crime?
This is real story.
Yes, stolen property, perhaps from a grocery store or whatever. But the evidence was being eaten by the rodents, and so they went to the animal shelter and said, "Give us the meanest cat you've got." And they adopted
the police
this
department.
Cat.
Did
the
this.
Police department did that, and they brought in Fang, and he lived at the station night and day, and he took care of the rodents who were eating the evidence.
Where is he now?
Well, that was in the 80s, I think. So
cats tend to live a long life.
Not sure he's still around.
Well,
speaking of the police department, a little transition and segue into that. The citizens passed the 1/4-cent sales tax for crime control, which allows the city to increase the number of officers that we have. And since then, I think this is very remarkable. Chief Dye has done a great job as police chief, but since 2010, we have had a 30% decrease in crime. And that is remarkable. I think that should make people want to come to Grand Prairie.
And people have. People have been moving to Grand Prairie. The homes there are reasonable. It's very interesting because if you look at Fort Worth and Arlington and other areas, Grand Prairie is still considered a pretty, a fair real estate for the area. And people are moving to Grand Prairie. And
it's interesting to me that the population has continually increased. There's been several instances, even, in the 2000s where Grand Prairie was building. I think there was one year in there where they were building a house, every few hours. There were so many being built here. Even after, the aviation industry, the plant closed, people didn't leave. More people moved in. They saw the advantage to living here and working in Dallas, that's one of the things that struck me when I was researching the city was that it just continued to grow. There weren't those times when, there was a depression in the population or a lot of vacant homes and that kind of thing. So family would move out, somebody else would come in and grab it up. So,
Georgia Clemson, where do you see Grand Prairie?
At the present time.
Where do you see Grand Prairie going from here?
Well, I think that, as I said earlier, the best is yet to come for Grand Prairie because of the accessibility with the completion of 161 and then the frontage roads on I-20, I-30. We do have the undeveloped land there. We are location, location, location. We're in the heart of the Metroplex. And we have excellent leadership within our city, and thanks to the leadership of the past leaders of Grand Prairie, which includes our history, I think that we are very poised, just like a plane on the taxiing on the runway, that it's just about to lift off.
Are you surprised, though, that people do say that they don't even know, I mean, where Grand Prairie is? This party that I went to, as I'd mentioned before, people were saying, where is Grand Prairie? Or, you know, one of the comments was, I think there's that big White House is over there, speaking of the Palace of Wax.
Oh, I see.
But pretty much, you know, a lot of people just drive past Grand Prairie and they just don't know what's there.
I think part of that is due to the fact, just like you said, the big White House on I-30, people do drive past that. Not many people go downtown Grand Prairie. And downtown Grand Prairie, the center of Grand Prairie, has changed. It's constantly changing. Downtown remains the same place, yet we're a long, thin geographical area. So the north and the south, there's a lot of distance between that. So I think it makes it very hard to get to know Grand Prairie. And we, as a city, are going to have to do a better job of marketing and inviting you all to come to Grand Prairie for special events.
That is true. That is true. Kathy Goolsbee, where do you see Grand Prairie's future, you know?
Oh, I'm better at looking at the past. But I agree with Georgia. You know, there are so many advantages to Grand Prairie. As I said, I didn't grow up there. And, you know, I learned about it as I worked there and then began to research it and just knowing the people there. And I think that Grand Prairie, it's a city that they're always going to be there for you. They're always working and have for decades to always make the city better for the people who live there. They really listen to what the citizens have to say, whether it's at the city council meetings or, you know, their concerns online, wherever they hear them, they don't dismiss that. And they really work to make Grand Prairie a better place for the people who are living there. And I think that will continue, and therefore it will continue to be a good place to live and to raise a family.
Where is your favorite place in Grand Prairie?
Oh, my favorite place is home sweet home. Always. Oh, but just to visit, is that what you mean?
Mm.
Well, I love our Turner Park, which has lots of history in it. I love all of Grand Prairie. I love going to the racetrack. Lone Star Park is beautiful. Even if you're not into horse racing, if you could just go watch the animals and be there and see the beautiful landscaping. There are too
the
many.
Architecture and the setting, the, you know, the mood,
it's
just
gorgeous.
The opening,
mm-hmm.
Just the openness of, mm-hmm. of the place is a very inviting, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's a good summer night.
Yes.
Well, thank you ladies so much for joining us here on
Think.
Thank you. We've been talking this hour about all things Grand Prairie with former Dallas Morning News reporter Kathy Goolsbee and City Council member Georgia Clemson. Thanks for being on Think.
Thank you for having us.
We appreciate it.
Think is produced by Stephen Becker and engineered by Shelley Canavy. Lindsay Connect is assistant producer. Our executive producer is Jeff Whittington, and you can contact us via email at think@kera.org. Once again, I'm Dwahli Saikautau. Thanks for listening.